For a while, the three companions remained silent, gazing after Boromir. Then Aragorn spoke. "They will look for him from the White Tower," he said, "but he will not return from mountain or from sea." Then slowly he began to sing. "Through Rohan, over fen and field, where the long grass grows, the west wind comes walking, and about the walls it goes. What news from the west, O wandering wind, you bring to me tonight? Have you seen Boromir the Tall by moon or by starlight? I saw him ride over seven streams, over waters wide and grey. I saw him walk in empty lands until he passed away into the shadows of the north. I saw him then no more. The north wind may have heard the horn of the son of Boromir. O Boromir, from the high walls westward I looked afar, but you came not from the empty lands where no men are." Then Legolas sang. "From the mouths of the sea the south wind flies, from the sandhills and the stones. The wailing of the gulls it bears, and of the gated moan. What news from the south, O sighing wind, you bring to me at eve? Where now is Boromir the fair? He tarries, and I grieve. Ask not of me where he doth dwell. So many bones there lie on the white shores and the dark shores under the stormy sky. So many have passed down Anduin to find the flowing sea. Ask of the north wind news of them the north wind sends to me. O Boromir, beyond the gate the seaward road runs south, but you came not with the wailing gulls from the grey sea's mouth." Then Aragorn sang again. "From the gate of kings the north wind rise, and past the roaring falls, and clear and cold about the tower its loud horn calls. What news from the north, O mighty wind, you bring to me today? What news of Boromir the Bold, for he is long away? Beneath Amon Hen I heard his cry, there many foes he fought. His cloven shield, his broken sword, they to the water brought. His head so proud, his face so fair, his limbs they laid to rest. And Rauros, golden Rauros, falls, Boromir upon his breast. O Boromir, the Tower of God, shall ever northward gaze to Rauros, golden Rauros falls at the end of day."
"An ent," said Merry, "what's that? But what do you call yourself? What's your real name?"
"Who now?" replied Tyrbeard. "Who now? That will be telling. Not so hasty.
But I am doing the asking. You're in my country. What are you, I wonder?
I cannot place you. You do not seem to come in the old lists that I learned when I was young. But that was long, long time ago. And they may have made new lists. Let me see. How did it go? Learn now the lore of living creatures. First name the four, the free peoples. Eldest of all, the elf children. Dwarf the delver, darker his houses. Ent the earthborn, old as mountains. Man the mortal, master of horses. Beaver the builder, buck the leaper, bear bee hunter, boar the fighter, hound is hungry, hare is fearful. Yes, eagle in eyrie, ox in pasture, hart horn crowned, hawk is swiftest, swan the whitest, serpent coldest. How did it go? Room tum room tum room ti tum tum. It was a long list. But anyway, you do not seem to fit in anywhere." Treebeard fell silent, striding along, and yet making hardly a sound with his great feet. Then he began to hum again, and passed into a murmuring chant. Gradually the hobbits became aware that he was chanting to them. "In the willow meads of Tasarinan I walked in the spring. Ah, the sight and the smell of the spring in Nandasarion. And I said that was good. I wandered in the summer in the elm woods of Ossiriand. Ah, the light and the music of the summer by the seven rivers of Ossir. And I thought that was best. To the beaches of Neldereth I came in the autumn. Ah, the gold and the red and the sighing of leaves in the autumn in Tower and Eldor. It was more than my desire. To the pine trees of the highland of Dothanion I climbed in the winter.
Ah, the wind and the whiteness and the black branches of winter upon Orpheum. My voice went up and sang in the sky. And now all those lands lie under the wave, and I walk in Ambarona and Tower in Morna, in Aldalomi, in my own land, in the country of Fangor, and where the roots are long, and the years lie thicker than the leaves in Tower in Morna Lomi. There was an Elvish song that spoke of this, or at least so I understand it. It used to be sung up and down the great river. It was never an Entish song, mark you. It would have been a very long song in Entish. But we know it by heart, and hum it now and again. This is how it runs in your tongue. The Ent. When spring unfolds the beechen leaf, and sap is in the bough. When light is on the wildwood stream, and wind is on the brow. When stride is long, and breath is deep, and keen the mountain air. Come back to me, and say, my land is fair. The Entwife. When spring is come to garth and field, and corn is on the blade, when blossom like a shining snow is on the orchard laid, when shower and sun upon the earth with fragrance fill the air, I linger here and will not come, cause my land is fair. The Ent. When summer lies upon the world in a noon of gold, beneath the roof of sleeping leaves the dreams of trees unfold, when woodland halls are green and cool and wind is in the west, come back to me and say my land is best. The Entwife. When summer warms the hanging fruit and burns the berry brown, when straw is gold and ear is white and harvest comes to town, when honey spills and apple swells, though wind be in the west, I linger here beneath the sun, because my land is best. The Ent. When winter comes, the winter wild that hill and wood shall slay, when trees shall fall and starless night devour the sunless day, when wind is in the deadly east, then in the bitter rain I'll look for thee and call to thee, I'll come to thee again. The Entwife. When winter comes and singing ends, when darkness falls at last, when broken is the barren bough and light and labor past, I'll look for thee and wait for thee, until we meet again, together we will take the road beneath the bitter rain. Both. Together we will take the road that leads into the west, and far away we'll find a land where both our hearts may rest. Then orcs came with axes and cut down my tree. I came and called them by their long names, but they did not quiver. They did not hear or answer, they lay dead. O Warofarne lassi, Mr. Carne Mirie, O raw and fair upon your hair, how white the blossom lay. O raw and mine, I saw you shine upon a summer's day. Your rind so bright, your leaves so light, your voice so cool and soft. Upon your head, how golden red the crown you bore aloft. O raw and dead upon your head, your hair is dry and grey. Your crown is spilled, your voice is still forever and a day. O Warofarne lassi, Mr. Carne Mirie. Then with a crash came a great ringing shout. Rah! Whom? Rah! The trees quivered and bent as if a gust had struck them. There was another pause, and a marching music began like solemn drums. And above the rolling beats and booms, the swelled voices singing high and strong. Tarun, narun, 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 tahora, kumba, kumba, noon. The Ents were coming. And ever nearer, louder rose their song. Tahura, hara, lamba, noon, da lamba, tara, munda, room, da munda, rum, da runda, rum, da munda, lamba, munda, tom. Then Brigalad picked up the hobbits and strode from his house. To Isengard, the Ents cried in many voices, to Isengard. To Isengard, though Isengard be ringed and barred with doors of stone, though Isengard be strong and hard and cold as stone and bare as bone, we go, we go, we go to war to hew the stone and break the door. For bowl and bow are burning now, the furnace roars, we go to war. To land of gloom with tramp of doom, with roll of drum, we come, to Isengard with doom we come, with doom we come, with doom we come. Thus it runs in the common speech, said Aragorn, as near as I can make it. Where now the horse and the rider,
Where is the horn that was blowing? Where is the helm and the hauberk and the bright hair flowing? Where is the hand and the harp string and the red fire glowing? Where is the spring and the harvest and the tall corn growing? They have passed like rain on the mountain, like a wind in the meadow. The days have gone down in the west behind the hills into shadow. Who shall gather the smoke of the dead wood burning? Or behold the flowing years from the sea returning?
Ai lauri e lantar lassi surine, ignar un notti nar de ramar alloron, ignar velinti ulmar vanier mior mar de lissi miru voriva, andun ne pella vardo tellumar nulluini jassen tintelari eleni, o mario aeritari lirine. Si mani yuldan innen quantuva, an si tentalle varra oio lossi ove fagna maria telentari ortene, Arigli tia rundullave lumbole a sindano riello caita morni e falma linna rimbe metta hissie un tuppa calachiglio miri oiale. Si vannona, romello vanno a valimar. Na marie, na hiru vaglie valimar, na elie hiruva, na marie.
Gollum chuckled to himself, sometimes even croaking in a sort of song. The cold hard lands, they bites our hands, they gnaws our feet. The rocks and stones are like old bones, all bare of meat. But stream and pool is wet and cool, so nice for feet. And now we wish. Aha, what does we wish? He guessed it long ago. Baggins guessed it. Alive without breath, as cold as death, never thirsting, ever drinking, clad in mail, never clinking, drowns on dry land, thinks an island is a mountain, thinks a fountain is a puff of air, so sleek, so fair, what a joy to meet. We only wish to catch a fish so juicy, sweet. Were there any elephants? Asked Sam, forgetting his fear and his eagerness for news of strange places. No, no olifants. What are olifants? Said Gollum. Stan stood up, putting his hands behind his back, as he always did when speaking poetry, and began. Grey as a mouse, big as a house, nose like a snake, I make the earth shake as I tramp through the grass. Trees crack as I pass. With horns in my mouth I walk in the south, flapping big ears. Beyond count of years I stomp round and round, never lie on the ground, not even to die. Olifant am I, biggest of all, huge, old and tall. If ever you'd met me, you wouldn't forget me. If you never do, you won't think I'm true. But old Olifant am I, and I never lie. A little way back, above the lake, they found a deep brown bed of last year's fern. Beyond it was a thicket of dark-leaved bay trees, climbing up a steep bank that was crowned with old cedars. Here they decided to rest and pass the day, which already promised to be bright and warm. Sam had been giving earnest thought to food as they marched. Now that the despair of the impassable gate was behind him, he did not feel so inclined as his master to take no thought for their livelihood beyond the end of their errand. And anyway, it seemed wiser to him to save the waybread of the elves for worse times ahead. 6 days or more had passed since he reckoned that they had only a bare supply for 3 weeks. If we reach the fire in that time, we'd be lucky at this rate, he thought. And we might be wanting to get back. We might. Besides, at the end of a long night march, and after bathing and drinking, he felt even more hungry than usual. A supper, or a breakfast, by the fire in the old kitchen at Bagshot Row was what he really wanted. An idea struck him, and he turned to Gollum. Gollum had just begun to sneak off on his own, and he was crawling away on all fours through the fern. "Hi, Gollum," said Sam. "Where are you going? Hunting? Well, see here, old noser, you don't like our food, and I'd not be sorry for a change myself. Your new motto's always ready to help. Could you find anything fit for a hungry hobbit?" "Yeah,
Perhaps, yes, said Gollum. Smeagol always helps if they asks. If they asks nicely.
Right, says Sam, I does ask. And if that isn't nice enough, I begs.
Gollum disappeared. He was away some time, and Frodo, after a few mouthfuls of Lembeur, settled down in the deep brown fern and went to sleep. Gollum returned quietly and peered over Sam's shoulder. Looking at Frodo, he shut his eyes and crawled away without a sound. Sam came to him a moment later and found him chewing something and muttering to himself. On the ground beside him lay two small rabbits, which he was beginning to eye greedily.
Smeagol always helps, he said. He has brought rabbits, nice rabbits. But Master's gone to sleep, and perhaps Sam wants to sleep. Doesn't want rabbits now. Smeagol tries to help, but he can't catch things all in a minute.
Sam, however, had no objection to rabbit at all, and said so. At least not to cooked rabbit. All hobbits, of course, can cook, for they begin to learn the art before their letters, which many never reach. But Sam needed a fire and other things besides. He thought for a bit while he took out his knife, cleaned and whetted it, and began to dress the rabbits. He was not going to leave Frodo alone asleep, even for a few minutes. Now, Gollum, he said, I've another job for you. Go and fill these pans with water and bring them back.
Speak up and fetch water, yes, said Gollum. But what does the hobbit want all that water for? He's drunk, he's washed.
Never you mind, said Sam. If you can't guess, you'll soon find out. And the sooner you fetch the water, the sooner you'll learn. Don't you damage one of my pans, or I'll carve you into mincemeat.
While Gollum was away, Sam took another look at Frodo. He was still sleeping quietly, and Sam was now struck most by the leanness of his face and hands.
Too thin and drawn he is, he muttered. Not right for a hobbit. If I can get these conies cooked, I'm going to wake him up.
Sam gathered a pile of the driest fern and then scrambled up the bank, collecting a bundle of twigs and broken wood. The fallen branch of a cedar at the top gave him a good supply. He cut out some turves at the foot of the bank just outside the fern brake and made a shallow hole and laid his fuel in it. Being handy with flint and tinder, he soon had a small blaze going. It made little or no smoke, but gave off an aromatic scent. He was just stooping over his fire, shielding it and building it up with heavier wood, when Gollum returned, carrying the pans carefully and grumbling to himself. He set the pans down, and then suddenly saw what Sam was doing. He gave a thin, hissing shriek and seemed to be both frightened and angry.
Ah, snow, he cried. No silly hobbits. Foolish, yes, foolish. They mustn't do it.
Mustn't do what? Asked Sam in surprise.
Not make the nasty red tongues, hissed Gollum. Fire, fire, it's dangerous, yes it is. It burns, it kills, and it will bring enemies, yes it will.
I don't think so, said Sam. Don't see why it should if you don't put wet stuff on it and make a smother. But if it does, it does. I'm going to risk it anyhow. I'm going to stew these conies.
Stew the rabbits, squealed Gollum in dismay. Spoil the beautiful meat Smeagol saved for you, poor hungry Smeagol. What for? What for? Silly hobbit. They're young, they're tender, they're nice. Eat them, eat them.
He clawed at the nearest rabbit, already skinned and lying by the fire.
Now, now, said Sam, each to his own fashion. Our bread chokes you and raw coney chokes me. If you give me a coney, the coney's mine, see? To cook if I have a mind, and I have. You needn't watch me. Go and catch another and eat it as you fancy, somewhere private and out of my sight. Then you won't see the fire and I shan't see you and we'll both be the happier. And I'll see the fire don't smoke, if that's any comfort to you.
Gollum withdrew, grumbling, and crawled into the fern. Sam busied himself with his pans.
What a hobbit needs with coney, he said to himself, is some herbs and roots, especially taters. Not to mention bread. Herbs we can manage, seemingly. Gollum, he called softly. Third time pays for all. I want some herbs.
Gollum's head peeped out of the fern, but his looks were neither helpful nor friendly.
A few bay leaves, some thyme and sage will do before the water boils, said Sam.
No, said Gollum. Smeagol's not pleased, and Smeagol doesn't like smelly leaves. He doesn't eat grasses or roots, no precious. Not till he's starving or very sick, poor Smeagol.
Smeagol will get into real true hot water when this water boils if he don't do as he's asked, growled Sam. Sam will put his head in it, just precious. And I'd make him look for turnips and carrots and taters too if it was the time of the year. I bet there's all sorts of good things running wild in this country. I'd give a lot for half a dozen taters.
Smeagol won't go. Oh, no, precious.
Not this time, hissed Gollum.
He's frightened and he's very tired. And this hobbit's not nice. Not nice at all. Smeagol won't grub for roots and carrots and taters. What's taters, precious? Eh? What's taters?
Potatoes, said Sam. The gaffer's delight and rare good ballast for an empty belly. But you won't find any, so you needn't look. But be good, Smeagol, and fetch me the herbs, and I'll think better of you. What's more, if you turn over a new leaf and keep it turned, I'll cook you some taters one of these days, I will. Fried fish and kip, served by S. Gamgee. You couldn't say no to that.
Yes, yes, we could. Spoiling nice fish, scorching it. Give me fish now, and keep nasty chips.
Oh, you're hopeless, said Sam. Go to sleep.